Welcome back to the SYD podcast. I am Joel.
And I'm Janelle.
And I'm also Janelle.
Two Janelles in the house today.
And Joel.
And a Joel. The three J's. So today it is another Sabbath. We are here to talk with Janelle.
This Janelle.
About her experience going on mission trips. And I do believe you've gone on one. You've spoken about it in church. You've done a presentation.
Yes.
So would you just tell us where you went, first of all?
I think the one you're speaking of is the one for South Korea.
Yes. Yeah. So you've been on multiple?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
But yeah, South Korea was the longest one. It was 8 months.
Eight,
wow.
Yeah, but it was great. I graduated from university. I was looking for an opportunity to get away from my family. So I applied. There's actually an Adventist website that you can go on to find Adventist mission trips specifically. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Like, I didn't know, like, about the resources that the Adventist church had. Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised
about how many.
Yeah. It was crazy.
So how was the feeling, after the first month of being away from your family, everything that you've known back in the States, how was the adjustment period for you?
There was no adjustment period
for
me.
No adjustment period?
I loved it, right away. I got there and I felt like I was home.
You felt like,
hard to come back, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Korea is so nice. It almost feels like Jamaica.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for the people that look different, obviously. Yeah. But, they're very, warm. They're very
accepting.
Yeah. Very, they like yams, they like soup, they like the things that we like, they like vegetables. They're very respectful, and there are a lot of very good and dedicated Seventh-day Adventists there, so I felt right at home. A lot of the other teachers that were there were also from abroad, so I instantly made lifelong friends. One of my best friends now, she's from South Africa, we met there.
Okay.
Another one is from London. We also met there. Yeah, it was great. Instantly, I felt like home. It was like one of the best things I'd done.
In your life?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was already at university for 4 years, so it wasn't like I was missing my family too much. Like, I was already used to being on my own. The thought of coming home and living back with my parents, I was like, oh my God.
How do I do
this? I
should
go somewhere. Which is why, honestly, I wanted to travel and I wanted to do some kind of mission while I was traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So it was perfect. Like, it worked out.
Okay. So what are some of the things that being out there has taught you? Whether it's about life, your Christianity?
Definitely. I think one of the biggest things I learned was that I can have Adventist friends. I don't keep Adventist friends like that. I don't know why. I'm one of those people, I come to church, I want you to leave me alone during the week, and I'll see you again next Sabbath.
See you again next Sabbath.
But this was my first time meeting people who I felt comfortable around enough to, have them be a part of my life. That was a big takeaway for me. I met Adventist friends, since then, and I'm like, okay, Janelle, you know what? Give them a chance. I always have my guard up around Adventists for some... I'm obviously a lifelong Adventist.
Yeah.
And I love their faith. But I don't know. I always feel but it opened my mind up. I feel like I had a misconception about the daily Adventist life.
Mm-hmm.
That it was have to be perfect. These people go to my church. I can't really be myself around them because then they're going to be like, ooh. Mm-hmm. So it was eye-opening to see Christianity modeled after perfection, but not condemning imperfection.
Yes. You got a question?
Yeah. So what is the first thing that you did once you landed in South Korea?
So the first thing, you land, they have somebody come and pick you up at the airport. So they take you to the main office, which is in Seoul, which is the capital of South Korea. And you're there for maybe 2 weeks. So during that 2 weeks, they teach you how to teach English, basically. So they go through grammar with you, go through the models and the PowerPoints they're going to give you. They give you everything. They give you the textbooks. They give you everything. So you go through it. You learn how to interact with students of all ages. You meet your fellow teachers that are coming in with you. So they'll take a group of volunteers, maybe 30 from mm-hmm. around the world.
Yeah.
And you'll meet the other 30 that are there with you. So you kind of just get to know them, build your friendships. Then you guys get sent off to different parts of the country.
Yeah.
But because you've already been together for 2 weeks, they were rooming with you, you kind of already have somebody on your team there. So you feel comfortable. If something happens, mm-hmm. hey, did you guys teach this? What like, it's mm-hmm. okay to be uncomfortable around, I mean, uncomfortable teaching around people who are also uncomfortable teaching. So mm-hmm. it gives you like some reciprocity
common
there.
Ground, yeah.
And then they teach you how to read Korean. They teach you some of the words that you need to know.
So are you fluent in Korean or no? Or not fluent?
No, let me
not
fluent. Speak it. Not fluent. I used to be good. Okay. I was really good. But now I'm not. It's been over, it's been like 2 years now. Okay. So
this is all recent. Well, not recent, yeah. recent, but
yeah.
close enough.
But at my job, I had a patient that was Korean, and I was Ooh. Talking to her, and she was like, wow, your Korean's better than my kids. And I was like, oh, thank you.
So what you did there was you taught kids how to speak English. That's what you, like, taught them for the 8 months completely, or did you do different things?
So it was English with faith-based English, basically. Okay. So it was English basically from the Bible. So
like a Bible study.
Yeah. Okay. It was Bible study in the sense that each lesson for each day, you start off with a verse, you explain the verse, you have the verse in Korean, you have it in English, you explain what it means, then you go through, you have a lesson, and each lesson has a moral, which is mm-hmm. often biblical, and that's basically the breakdown of the class. But we had students who were, you know, coming after school to learn English. You had ajumas, which are like Korean stay-at-home moms. They don't have anything to do all day, so they come. And then the mm-hmm. early morning, you have the Korean businessmen that work for like Samsung, and they come mm-hmm. to learn English in the early morning. But it was that you get breaks, like 2 weeks of vacation between each term, so you get to travel. I traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. I went to the Philippines, I went to Japan. I was all over the place mm-hmm. on the time that you have for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are a lot of Seventh-day Adventist churches there, so I would just hop on the train and go like across the country to another church if I felt mm-hmm. like it.
And they only spoke like Korean there, or were they okay? So
yeah. The university students often speak English. So I remember I was on the bus my first like month there, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know which stop like to get off on, and I'm like trying to talk to this guy in Korean about, hey, can you help me, you know, find mm-hmm. this bus stop. And my Korean, I was struggling, and he just spoke English. He was, hey, you need help finding what? And I was like, oh no, I need help finding this one. So
you see that in movies a lot.
Yeah,
like,
but I don't even speak Korean.
Exactly, right? Like, I'm from America too. I'm like, oh crap,
you're from Georgia.
Thank you, Lord.
Right.
All right. So you said you've been on multiple mission
yeah.
trips.
Yeah.
Well, what other places have you gone to?
So I went to Puerto Rico on a mm-hmm. mission trip. I just came back from DR.
Oh, you went with them?
Yeah. On a mission trip there. I've done trips to Jamaica, obviously. I mm-hmm. go there all the time. I did a mission thing while I was in the Philippines mm-hmm. in Coron. It was like some island off the east coast of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So did there too. And I went to Ghana last December for a month. And did some mission work there.
So you've been all over the place.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
So, all right. Where would you go now if given the opportunity?
I'm applying right now.
Oh, really?
I want to go to Kenya. Yeah.
Kenya. Mm-hmm. I would go to Kenya.
There's a position open. If you check the Adventist Volunteer Service website, yeah. there's mm-hmm. They're looking for PE teachers for a girls' school in Kenya.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. I can do that.
I got this.
I'll have those girls sweating. Like, but, so I'm applying now. I actually just asked Brother Jason to write my recommendation.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I have not been on a mission trip.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I didn't. It's just one of those things I haven't gotten around to doing. I would like to one day, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We'll see.
For me, I feel like mission trips, like, I feel like I wouldn't have either the time or the funds to do that. Because it's kind of like, because you're saying, oh, I'm going to go for 8 months here, or I went this much time here, and I have, like, school and all this stuff. But I feel like after you're like discussing this, like I'm in my mind, I'm like, okay, when can I like, okay, like 5 years from now, maybe in like a summertime.
But if you go to Korea, they'll pay you. Oh. So you get paid for teaching. You get paid like $22 an hour.
Oh my gosh.
To teach. They pay your utilities. They pay your rent. Everything's free. Oh. So all that money comes directly into your pocket. Mm. And you file taxes there like everybody else. And you get your tax return. I was here for 8 months. So when I came back at the end of that year, I filed my taxes from here. Mm. And I got like my taxes back. It was like, I mean, not everywhere is going to pay you.
Yeah.
But if you go to like, I know a lot of South American mission trips, they'll like, they'll pay you to come and volunteer.
I do have a question. So I know like a lot of people may think that like doing mission trips, especially if they're like in different parts of the world, like third world countries or like countries that kind of sound like scary, like
the struggle.
Yeah. Like there's like a stigma to it. Did your parents like have like, kind of were off the hinge with that, like were they kind of like, no, maybe you shouldn't go to South Korea because it's near like North Korea or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Can't find something local.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to go to Mexico. Oh. I still want to go to Mexico so bad. My mom said she shut it down immediately. She was like, nope, you're not going to Mexico. So that's how I ended up in South Korea because South Korea has the lowest violence rate out of any country. It's like the safest, literally like the safest country on earth.
I did not know
except
that.
Except it's next to North Korea.
Yeah.
But like besides that, it has like no violence. Well, almost none. So that definitely was a concern. But as I said at the time, like, I mean, it was just, I was being nice by even being like, oh, do you mind if I go? Because I could just go. But yeah, definitely. My mom had some concerns about Mexico in particular, but I'm planning on going as soon as I can to Mexico. Now that she's comfortable with me traveling by myself and things like that. Yeah. Plus, you know, I mean, I could, I think I could take care of myself. Plus, God takes care of me.
Amen.
The Lord's work.
What advice would you give to the youth out there that I guess you would say are on the fence, they want to go, but then again, they don't really want to go. Like, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Just plunge in. You'll love it. And the people you'll meet there will change your life. I mean, even if you're hesitant, like I was about, oh, you know, I'm going with a bunch of Adventists, this and that. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to, like.
They're going to judge me.
Exactly. They're going to judge me. Honestly, I think it's even better when you go with that mindset because then you get surprised by how, like, these people that are there have the same thoughts and the same insecurities as you do. And you instantly connect. It's like, it's amazing. Just jump in. Even if you go with a group that's like not the best group to go with, honestly, the people that you serve will then change your life. Like the service itself is life changing. So find somewhere, hopefully warm, ask your parents, sign up, ask an elder and your pastor for a recommendation and go.
Okay. Are you going to the one that they're going to this week?
No, I have to work.
Oh, okay.
But it's in New York, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about it. But I'd already signed up for some shifts at work, so.
Okay. Yeah, I had wanted all of them to come, but, you know.
Okay.
They left and.
Is that shade?
They left us hanging.
But that's a really good trip, though, because, like, I'd never done any construction.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to do Habitat for Humanity when I was in college. I didn't get a chance to do that. When I was in Korea doing the teaching thing, we had like other side programs like going out with the homeless and doing this, doing that on the side. We had like Bible studies and evangelism stuff that every church has. And I wanted to do some construction there too. I never got to.
Ooh.
So I'm like actively seeking some construction experience.
To build something.
I want to build something.
Okay.
I want to build a church. Yeah.
So a lot of people, including me, I thought that like a mission trip would be like you go somewhere like it's from like a third world country and you just go there and you build like a school or a church, like you said.
Yeah.
And when you like explained it, oh, that we taught English. So my question is like, what defines a mission trip?
Right. A mission trip is any godly excursion that you take on, not with like personal intent, but with the intent of then transforming lives for Christ, right? So even though I was speaking English, as I said, like it was like It was like the secret hidden ninja Adventist. Like the whole, like there was like in every story there was like you see, you could see like Christ woven through all the like the whole textbook. So it was, even though it was English, it was Christian tainted. Everything that we were given was heavily drenched in, you know, Christ. So even though they come, oh, I want to learn English so I can apply to be an engineer with Samsung. Yeah, you'll learn English through these Bible texts that we're going to teach, right? So, also, you know, as you said, people think, you know, I have to go into the jungle and reach out to these tribes. I mean, there are people in first world countries that also need, you know, to be
witnessed
to. So, even on the website, there's a thing for Ireland. My mom wanted me to take that one up. She was like, oh, it's only 3 months. You could go to Ireland. I could come visit you. We can go. I'm like, I mean, exactly. So there, if you're hesitant about, you know, dengue fever and chikungunya and all these things that you read about and getting all these vaccinations, you can go to Europe and, do that too.
I guess you could say that would end it. All right. Unfortunately, I do know you have to go.
Yes. Oh, God.
That's my niece's birthday.
I mean, a lot of guests come and then have to leave. So, what we do to usually end these off is the Faithful Five. Janelle's hinted.
Top five.
Top five. All right. I wanted to do the top five places that you would want to go to.
Okay.
For mission trips. I do know you said Mexico is your top.
Mexico is, well, now that I'm reading about Kenya, like, I really want to do the Kenya thing, yo.
Okay.
I would be a great PE teacher, I think. I don't. Maybe I'm guessing. Maybe I'll get there and it's, like, too hot and I'll hate it. But I'm just thinking, like, oh, my gosh, I could just have them running all the time. But I definitely want to go to Kenya. I definitely want to, like, go to South America. I was going to go to Costa Rica this summer. The clinic I was going to work at closed, so I couldn't go. So Mexico, Honduras, somewhere in South America would be nice. I want to go to more Caribbean islands, do some more work in Jamaica. So I've been there, but that's my third. Alaska.
I was just about to ask, no cold places?
No, they had a teaching thing there recently, and I looked at it a couple of times. So, and I'm applying to a school close, like, to that area right now. So, and number five would be, I don't know. Maybe, I want to say China, just because I didn't get to go when I was in South Korea. I was like, I traveled this far. I wanted to go see the Great Wall. And you need like an additional visa. I was trying to apply for it. I couldn't read Chinese. I couldn't get any connections. I was like, okay. I can't.
This is not working out.
It's not working out, but I want to go to China.
Okay.
How about you, guys?
Well, now that you're saying it, I'm going to... three that I would actually go would be... I like the South Korea thing. I thought that was really interesting. I've always thought about, like, Guyana a lot. And then a final place would be... I guess somewhere in Europe. Whether it be, like... Yeah, somewhere in Europe. I'm not going to go and name some place that's not in Europe. So just somewhere in Europe.
I would want to go to Ireland, like you said. Kenya is a good one. And Greenland, just because.
Oh, Greenland.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've always liked Greenland for some reason.
Okay.
So those are my three.
Okay.
I don't have five yet. So maybe one day we'll be as well traveled as you. But until then,
trip together.
I like that.
Just represent one time.
Next podcast, we're gonna be in Kenya.
For real, that would be dope.
We should do it.
That would be really nice.
I'm really interested. They have some in Egypt too.
Ooh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yes, they have. They have like they're looking for math teachers though. So I don't know what the qualifications are for that. I think you have to have 2 semesters of math, college level.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. So it's like, how old do you have to like be, or like what are your qualifications, real quickly, Zach?
So it depends on which one it is. Like, so if you're teaching English, you have to have a bachelor's in something. So I just graduated. I was like, well, lucky me. But a lot of them don't require that. Like, if you're going to the Philippines to be a dental assistant or like a healthcare assistant, you have to have like maybe 1 semester of college done. Like. 18 or older with one semester done. It varies, but usually they want one or two semesters, maybe a year or two. Mm-hmm. If it's like a higher level type thing, you would have to have a bachelor's or be specialized in that like profession or field or whatever. Mm.
There you have it. All right, so now we have to go. We do welcome your opinions, your comments. We do want you to say where you would go if you were to go on a mission trip. Let us know wherever you're listening to this. You could comment. Follow us on social media at the SYD Podcast. And we will see you guys next time. Goodbye.